The reality of owning your first home, it's not what you think. We're going to tell you the truth, new and old first home buyer. Good morning.
Mr. Billy Drury, good morning to you.
Mr. Experienced first home buyer, Mark Novak.
Pleased to meet you.
How long ago did you buy your first home?
1995. Four.
And you still own the property?
Yeah.
And is it still one of the favorites?
Yeah.
It is so funny to compare first home buying stories with mum and dad, with your friends, with your work colleagues, with your boss, whether that was 10, 5, 2 years ago. I think everyone's got a similar story. The build up is exciting, it's nervous. But I think the reality once you've bought your first home is not what most people would think, you know, prior to actually the purchase. Would you agree?
Yeah, I thought really important dialogue for this morning to bring you on screen to talk about what you have gone through when you bought. And I think everyone's perspective from a first home buyer is normally brought to them by someone who's done it or somebody sort of 10, 20, 30 years their senior. So yeah. I thought it'd be great to have someone, you know, that's under 35, under 30, under 25. They're going to have that sort of discussion and, you know, talk about the real reality because, you know, it's really, really tough.
Yeah, I feel so, so lucky to be in a position where I was able to buy my first home. At the age of 18, I'd been saving for 2.5-3 years prior, working during school, which is, you know, a lot, but it was a goal that I was, you know, really pushing for. And I felt so lucky to come into a position where I had a really good team around me. And what I mean by that is an amazing, amazing boss, great mum and dad, really supportive and fantastic help outside, you know, with a good broker and a good solicitor. So I think that sort of made the world of difference. But 2-3 years of saving, it's so funny, it comes and goes so quickly. Once you reach your deposit, you actually find yourself in a buying position. But the reality is, what caught me off guard and I never considered it was how the bank would assess you as a first-time buyer and what life would look like after purchasing the property, once you start owning your property.
Well, there's certainly no compassion from the bank, and nor should there be, you know. But I was talking with a friend of mine in banking about how much you actually need as a first home buyer today when they're assessing you at interest rates of 5 or 6%. I've been having, she was saying she'd been having that conversation with her kids, and Lisa and I were saying we've actually recently been having the conversation with our kids as well. It's a shocking amount of money that these guys have to be earning, and I think everyone's just a little bit perplexed at the moment with how a first home buyer is actually meant to come up with that sort of deposit, which sort of has all that hasn't been a moving target as much, but the moving target's been the income. The amount of sheer income you've got to have to show the banks you can support that loan.
It's a huge amount of money. So they work on a multiplier of about 5x your income. So for every dollar you earn, you can basically borrow 5, to put it in simple layman's terms. And that's where it becomes tricky for the reality of first-time buyers in Sydney. If you're earning $100,000, which is a huge amount of money, you can effectively borrow 500, which doesn't get you very far, particularly on the northern beaches, eastern suburbs, lower north shore. I think everywhere, you know, everyone is starting to see those entry-level price points move. And so it's certainly frustrating as a first-time buyer to save, work, and live your whole life in your hometown and then not be able to afford to buy back into your hometown. I think that's what, you know, frustrates people the most.
I had a really good conversation with my 25-year-old daughter about buying a place. And it went a little bit something like this, where I said to her, when did you start working? And she said, 16. And I said, how much did you earn that year? She said, X or A. And I said, 17, did you work? Yeah. How much did you earn? B. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. We were wound out to 25. And I added all those up. And I said, so you've worked effectively part-time or full-time for X amount. And I said, you've probably gone through, I think we came up to about 506, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, 580,000 or something like that, you know, since you started working at school.
Yep.
Right? So I was like, where's the money gone? And she's like, ooh. And then, right? So then I said, okay, now call that success. I said, what does the next 5 years look like? What are your projected earnings? And we added up 5-6 years. Okay, so you've gone through that much. And then I said, what does the next 6 years look like? And let's go through that. And I said, potentially you're going to actually, you don't buy a property. You're going to chew through about $1 million over a 12-year period, say. I said, I reckon you can chisel out your mortgage out of that money. I just, what do you think? And she's like, I said, all right, what if you did buy a property, what would that look like with your cash flow plus your capital growth?
Yeah.
And that's when it really came out, where when I added in 5 years of capital growth, or the next 5 years of capital growth, just going off the last 50 years, right? Yep. She was like, I actually can't afford not to do this. That's what I want to say today. It's going to hurt and it's going to be painful, but if you map out your last 5 years, what you've actually earned and spent, and you map out your next 5 years, it's a lot of money, then you map out the capital growth you're not going to get if you don't buy, I don't think you can afford not to, guys and girls.
It's it's really interesting to look at. There's a couple of things that I have to say since buying a property I never really considered or what surprised me the most. Number one is that buying the property itself is actually the easy part. Getting to your deposit is actually the easy part. It's then financing it, and the repayments are the hardest. So I think if you are fortunate enough to have a year or two with mum and dad, once you've purchased, it will take a huge amount of pressure off your shoulders. I personally can't really imagine moving into a property straight away, because all your finances are turbulent at that point. You've just paid out a huge amount of your savings for your deposit. So if you can sort of just rely on family support a little bit, just for the first 6 to 12 months, which is great. That really helps, and you can establish a cash flow through your property. You know, as a first home buyer, you don't need to move in instantly. You can move in for the 12-month period within 12 months. So there's that sort of initial 10, 11, 12 months where you can set yourself up with a bit of cash coming through. It'll really help.
Yep.
So the repayments is probably the hardest thing to adjust to, but on the flip side of that, it does set up some really good saving habits and spending habits. It just becomes like an expensive phone bill. You get used to it, you adjust, and it'll be all right. That's, the bank's already sort of buffered that into your lending. So that's...
Billy, can you explain the concept of just renting it out and staying at your parents' or staying in cheaper rental accommodation? Because I think this is the number one biggest myth, that first-home buyers think they've got to stay in this place until the rest of their life, until further notice. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's far from the truth. Obviously, everyone wants to buy the best first home possible, but people get caught up in missing the opportunities that pass them by. You don't need to, you know, have this as your forever home, guys. There's a condition that if you're going to buy as a first home buyer, you need to move into it for 12 months, but it's not straight away.
And could be 6 months, actually. It's not specifically 12.
Yeah, well, 6 to 12 is what they're sort of on New South Wales Fair Trading website. Yep. But beyond that...
Unless you fall into financial hardship.
You're free. You're a free bird.
Rent it out.
Move back with mum and dad, move into a share house, do what you want.
Yeah, like, because if you do fall into financial hardship, and you can prove it, you can even get in sooner, I believe. So it doesn't have to be 6 or 12 months. But this, what we're talking about, is on the back of what Luke's brought up. It's that rent. They call it rent vesting. So it's, I guess you could say, it's a first home buyer rent vesting. So they go and rent somewhere else. They rent out the property that they purchased as a first home buyer, and that really helps with the cash flow in these 5 or 6% interest rate times.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's all you've really got to worry about. Forget the number on the purchase price. Forget the number the bank's going to charge. Just worry about how much it costs each month. And if you can manage that, you're on to a winner.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Just be excited. First-time buyer?
I see a lot of people get nervous. The other big thing to remember, anything under $800,000, you pay zero stamp duty on. So there's a saving of $31,000 there, straight back into your pocket. Anything from $800,000 to $1 million, it's a concession rate, so you get a little bit back. I think that's a really good advantage to take hold of, and talk to a broker, talk to friends, family, real estate agent if you need help. It's all about just that first conversation.
And I think the bottom line, it's going to hurt, and you're going to need your tribe around you, and probably going to need to rent it out, but it is going to hurt. But I think if you look at the flip side of not doing anything for 5 or 10 years or at all, it's going to hurt a lot more.
Yeah, and remember, you can start this at any age. That's another thing I really like. I'm meeting people at 18, 20, 50, some people coming back into the market as a first home buyer after they've actually purchased but been out of their own home for 10 years, you're now eligible as well. So
that's the biggest one out of today. Can you explain that again?
If you've bought a home before, but you've been out of that first home for more than 10 years, you sold, you moved on, you split ways with your partner at the time, and you've now been out of your first home for more than 10 years, you're back in as a first home buyer.
So you're not a first home buyer, but you get all the first time buyer incentives.
That's right.
That's a big one for people to know. Yeah. Have a great day.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. Love you. See ya. Bye.